Once again, I want to welcome each one of you here, and I'm glad that you made that effort to be here. I know that our brother Dan needs your standing, needs of your prayers, as anyone who comes before us does. But as you offer a prayer for him, offer one for yourselves, that you will understand what he would say. And of course, a smile never hurts. You might think that those muscles grow tired of it, but, you know, they never hurt. You sang a song just a moment ago about the wonderful words of life, the fact that they're beautiful, that they're the words that will sanctify, that they will satisfy. They're the words that will help you to understand the pardon that you can have and the peace that you can have. Those are the words that Dan is going to bring to you today. And probably he will not sing them, but I know that it's on his heart. Brother Dan.
Thank you, Brother Jim, and thank you for being here today. I'm always thankful when I come into the house of the Lord and meet my brothers and sisters in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's always a pleasure. It's always a joy to see your smiling faces and to just be in your presence. It lifts me up and gives me encouragement and strength. Indeed, Jim told you what I'm going to preach about today, the Word of God. And I want to start with the first verse of the 40th chapter of Isaiah. And we're going to bounce around a little bit today between Isaiah and Psalms, a little bit out of the Book of Mormon, a little bit out of the New Testament. But the first verse of chapter 40 of Isaiah says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Our theme camp a few weeks back, our theme was words of comfort and inspiration. And we had, I don't know, 20 or 30 scripture verses that were read that were words of comfort and inspiration out of the Word of God, things that we can hear that will lift us up and give us courage and give us strength to make it through the day and to make it through the remainder of our lives. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Isaiah is telling the Israelites that there will be comfort. There will come comfort into the hearts of men. And that the warfare that we have will one day be finished, will be accomplished, that we will have the means to attain victory in the warfare that we have in our lives. And that warfare is not with countries, and it's not with people, and it's not with aliens or anything else. That warfare is going on in our hearts, and that warfare is the battle that we face every day with evil. My heart has been heavy this week. My heart has been heavy because of the senseless killing that we've seen in our community of a bright and vivacious young lady for no apparent reason other than evil entered into the heart of man and caused him to take her life. We've seen it all too frequently in the news. Senseless killing, senseless taking of life. And the only explanation that fits is people, children of men, giving themselves over to evil I can only imagine the grief isn't even a strong enough word in the hearts of the parents of these people whose lives have been taken. The parents of this young lady, the man was a police officer, spent his life defending truth, defending good, defending the law, and evil entered into his life. I can't imagine I just remembered our sister Bertha Case, Jim's grandmother, grandmother, great-grandmother to a lot of you out here. And the last few years of her life, she would stand and she would give the same testimony every time. And that testimony was, I can't imagine how people could get through this life without Jesus Christ. I can't imagine dealing with that kind of grief without Jesus Christ in your life, without the comfort of God's Word and His Holy Spirit. But in a greater sense, the warfare that Isaiah was talking about was the warfare that each of us battle every day with the evil that's around us, that's entering into our lives. And without the ammunition that God gives us, we would fail. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, John the Baptist, coming to say, your God reigns among you. Let's look in the first chapter of Luke. Not talking about John, but talking about Mary, the mother of our Lord. And she had been visited by the angel, and that angel informed her that she would be the mother of the Son of God. In the first chapter of Luke, starting at verse 46, to me, words of comfort and inspiration, words that fill my heart with joy. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. In her heart, she had a feeling, a strength that glorified God, that lifted him up and praised him and would show forth his love to all of the world. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. God looked down upon a young lady who was poor. She had no social standing, was unknown by anybody but just those in her close surroundings. But over the next several thousand years, her name would become a household name. All would recognize her name as being the mother of our Lord. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. She knew in her heart that what happened was going to bring mercy to the rest of mankind till the end of the world. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. And indeed, her son, Jesus, came not to the kings and to the rich and famous. He came to the humble people. He came to the people whose hearts were ready to hear his message. And that's the attitude that we need to have. When we open these books and we hear his words, we need to be ready. We need to be willing to put away our desires and our thoughts and the things that would make gain in this world. And say, Lord, what can you do for my heart? That you can give me the strength and the courage that I need to continue in the spiritual warfare that I'm faced with. Returning to Isaiah 40, I'm going to go to the 9th verse. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. A prophecy telling the children of Israel, prepare yourselves, get ready, because you are going to bring good tidings to the world of the Savior. You're going to tell your people, behold your God, he is right here, he is with us. He is among us. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And what was his work? He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. And carry them in his bosom. And shall gently lead those that are with young. That no matter what the trials and tribulations of this life are, no matter what the griefs are that we face, whether they be physical or spiritual or mental, or that there is comfort and it's available and it's there, it's right there. And he shall carry us. He shall hold us close to his heart. We read about that shepherd. Another of the scriptures that was read at theme camp was Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He is the one. It's the Lord who is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and leadeth me beside the still waters. He has the power to take my troubled heart, maybe my messed up life, maybe a life of bad choices and mistakes, maybe a life touched by grief and sorrow. And he can take that life, and he can put me in a beautiful place, a green pasture with a beautiful stream running through it, with cool, clear water. He can put me there. He restores my soul. He takes the me that's inside of me and cleanses it and makes it right in his eyes. And he can do that. And he will do that. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He can direct our lives if we will allow it. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So that when we see that force in our lives and we see the good that can come into our lives, we can glorify him and we can glorify his name for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I pray for this family who's lost their daughter. I pray for families who have lost their children or their husbands or their wives to senseless violence. That are walking through this shadow of death, that they would not fear the evil, but that they can look that evil square in the eye and say, God is my shepherd. I'm not going to be afraid of you. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's rod, that rod of iron, his word that's been preserved for us down through the ages. Words like this 23rd Psalm. Words like that 40th chapter of Isaiah. Words like 5th chapter of Matthew. The rod, the solid rock in our lives, and the staff. That staff of correction that pulls us back in, God's Holy Spirit, to pull us back close to him, to touch our hearts, to give us comfort and inspiration and strength. Keep your thumb in that. First chapter of John. Now I'll begin at the 6th verse of the first chapter of John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. The light, the word, Jesus Christ. He was not that light. John was not the light. But he was sent to bear witness of that light. He was sent to the world to say, pay attention, look up. Here he comes. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, the light of Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was rejected by the house of Israel. But I love this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. In our society, we're frequently judged by the family that we were born into. If you're born into the rich and famous, you'll be rich and famous. If you're born into poverty, expected that you'll remain in poverty, that you'll never have any real social standing. But think how cool it would be when somebody looks at you and they say, well, his father's God. It doesn't get any better than that. to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We're born of God when we accept Christ as our Savior, enter the water of baptism and have our sins removed, and receive that staff of life, that Holy Spirit. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. The epitome of beauty and perfection and love and comfort was made flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 22. And remember, we're talking about John the Baptist here. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight in the way of the Lord. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Let's return to Psalm 23. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. When he prepares a table for us, he is making for us a feast. And what is that feast? The Book of Mormon says, feasting on the words of Christ. That spiritual food that will never leave us hungry. That guidance and inspiration that fills our heart with joy in times of intense grief. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If I'm known as a son of God, and I said a son of God, if I'm known as a son of God, then that goodness of God and his mercy and his love, that's going to be with me all my life. That's my inheritance. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No matter what happens to me, no matter what happens to those around me, no matter what grief I've had to experience, I have that promise that being a son of God, that I will live in his house and I will live there for eternity. When all else around us is crumbling, we have that rod and the staff to comfort us. Returning to Isaiah 40. Verse 18 says, to whom then will ye liken God? How do we describe God? How do we compare him to anything? It says that the workman might forge cast an idol and say, this is like God. Or we might take a piece of wood and we might carve something. We might say, this is like God. Verse 21, have you not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? We were told from the very beginning in Genesis. We've been told from the very beginning of our lives in Sunday school and in Bible school and on our mother's knee. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. You think about the globe and the latitude and the longitude lines that we as men have written on it. And he is so huge and so powerful that he can sit on it like we sit on a rubber ball. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. You ever seen a swarm of grasshoppers? You know, they come through and they just fill the sky. And each individual one is so incredibly insignificant. Talking of God, that he stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. We can hang a curtain. It's a simple thing to do. We can put a tent up. Simple thing to do. For God, it was that easy to spread out the blanket of the stars over the earth. It was of little effort to him. 26, lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. We can tap into that power and we can have victory over evil. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? A common question that's asked in these horrific situations might be, well, where was God? Why did God let this happen to my child? Why is God making me go through so much grief in my life? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. His power is infinite. His wisdom and knowledge and understanding are totally beyond anything that we can comprehend. So even if he answered our question, God, why do you allow these things to happen? We wouldn't understand the answer. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. That's the part we have to understand. Not ask why, but ask, what do I do now? Where do I go from here? How do I pick up the pieces of my life and move on? Because the past is just that. It's the past. It's gone. It's done. I can't change that. Help me, Lord, to deal with today. And tomorrow, we'll talk about tomorrow. He giveth power to the faint. and to them that hath no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Do we have any cross-country runners in the group here, or anybody that maybe used to be a cross-country runner? There's a hand. Any of those endurance-type sports, running, swimming, whatever it is, you know, endurance was not for me. I could run a short distance and I could jump, but anything more than 100 yards and I was out of gas. But we see these people, these marathon runners and people that swim the English Channel and all these things that they do, you know. But even those will run out of strength. But they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Talked about this a little bit at camp. And we don't see too many eagles around here, but we see a lot of hawks. And I enjoy watching the hawks as they soar. You rarely see them flap their wings. They get up there somehow, so they have to. But once they get up there, for the most part, they're just held up by the wind currents. And you can see the little tips of their wings. And the tips of their wings are feeling those wind currents and temperature changes. And that's how they know which direction to turn, so that they'll be staying on that rising column of air. And they just go higher and higher and higher. And they never have to flap their wings. They're being held up by the power of God. They're being held up by something that God made to keep them up there. And we're held up the same way. We're held up by God's Spirit, by God's word, his rod and his staff. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That strength is there. It's for us. It's waiting for us. Like the wind waiting for the eagle. All we have to do is accept it and be willing to fly with wings as eagles. God bless you each.